Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to CreditAccess Grameen Q2 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Alpesh Mehta from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Lizanne, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to 2Q and 1H FY22 earnings conference call of CreditAccess Grameen Limited. Today, we have with us Mr. Udaya Kumar Hegar, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Balakrishnan Kamath, CFO, and Nilesh, Vice President, Investor Relations. Without much ado, I hand it over to Mr. Hegar for the initial comments, and post which we will have a Q&A session. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Alpesh. Good morning to everyone. Many thanks to you for taking your time and joining us today to discuss our second quarter FY22 financial performance. The second quarter saw a positive trend on all fronts as business momentum inched back to pre-COVID levels. The country crossed the 100 crore vaccination administration mark, helping ease the challenges posed by COVID. As the lockdowns gradually lifted in July, we quickly regained our focus on growth and expansion, maintaining pre-COVID disbursement rate, acquiring new customers, engaging actively with our clients, leading to a healthy growth in the portfolio and improvement in asset quality. The monthly disbursements have gained strong traction since July, consistently being over INR 1,100 crores every month at CA Grameen. As indicated earlier, even disbursement at MMFL have gained momentum starting October, crossing rupees 227 crores. At a consolidation level, we disbursed rupees 5,262 crores from July to October 2021 and acquired 2 lakh new borrowers, feeding into rural capital creation, significantly contributing to India's rural growth story. Our extensive engagement with our clients yielded rich results as we saw collections excluding arrears consistently rise as an unlocking phase commenced. At CA Grameen, collection efficiency rose from 91% in July to 93.3% in September and further to 94.3% in October. Considering 4.7% non-paying customers, this effectively translates to close to 99% collection efficiency. The collection efficiency at MMFL, which constitutes 16% of our consolidated GLP, gradually improved from 83% in July to 87% in October, with non-paying customers groups accounting for 5.4% of GLP. At CA Grameen, the asset quality indicators saw positive signs as PAR 0 reduced from 30.6% in June to 9.9% in October, while PAR 62 reduced from 7.8% in June to 6.5% in October, backed by our predominantly weekly engagement and proactive efforts on the collection front. At Madura, the PAR 0 saw an increase to 20% in October from 15.4% in June. However, we expect the PAR to peak out in November and then start gradually reducing over coming months. Historically, there has been some lag in MMFL collection process, which will improve now as already aligned with CA Grameen process now. On a standalone basis, our gross loan portfolio grew by 21.5% YOY and 5.3% QOQ to INR 11,184 crore in Q2 FY22, while the borrower base declined by 1.7% to 27.5 lakh, primarily due to write-off of 2 lakh borrowers in the last 12 months. NIA grew by 13.1% to INR 309.3 crore, while NIM stood at 11.3%. Adjusting for the impact of interest income derecognition and impact of maintaining higher liquidity on balance sheet, NIM would have been 12.5%. We have lowered the liquidity from 15%+ to around 9% as on September, and we expect to further lower it to a normalized level of 8% by Q3, which will further reduce the negative carry impact in H2 FY22. The cost to income ratio was 42.5%, while OPEX to GLP stood at 5.1%, higher on YoY basis primarily due to increased business activity and new branch additions. This should normalize by end of the year with expected portfolio growth during second half. The PPOP grew by 10.6% YoY to INR 188.2 crore. Credit cost was INR 91.1 crore, which also included in the impact of write-off of rupees 129.6 crore during the quarter. The PAT for the second quarter was INR 72 crore, leading to ROA of 2.2% and ROE of 7.8%. GNPA reduced from 8.12 in June 21 to 7.18 in September 2021, and PAR 90 was at 5.4%. Overall, ECL was 5.51%. On a consolidated basis, our gross loan portfolio was up 19.2% YoY to rupees 13,333 crore and borrower base to 37.5 lakh, primarily due to a rate of 3.29 lakh borrower during the last 12 months. NIA grew by 11.5% to INR 368.9 crore. PPOP grew by 11.1% to 218.7 crore. Credit cost was rupees 139.9 crore. We have aligned the provisioning policy of Madura with CA Grameen, recognizing GNPA at 60 DPD, which led to an increased provisioning of rupees 13.4 crore. Hence, consolidated PAT was at 59.7 crore, resulting a ROE of 1.6% and ROE of 6.2%. We continue to maintain our focus on foraying into newer rural markets as a part of our geographical diversification strategy and tap the unserved and underserved markets. A total of 142 branches are open during July to October, primarily across newer markets like UP, Bihar, Jharkhand, Rajasthan, and Gujarat. Our overall branch network now stands at 1,566 as on October 21 with a portfolio of rupees 13,646.4. Our contiguous district-based expansion has laid out well in the past and will continue to perform in a similar manner in the future. The process integration at Madura has been completed, including the system integration and aligning the provisioning policy as discussed above. As indicated before, beginning from October 21, we shall be significantly scaling the business at Madura, offering our bucket of financial products and services based on credit line concept. With the reduced severity of the pandemic situation and with increasing vaccination throughout the country, we are confident of delivering strong business growth in the second half of FY22 as well as coming years. Assuming that there are no further severe business disruptions on account of COVID, we look forward to achieving consolidated loan portfolio growth of about 17 to 19% and our consolidated credit cost for the year would be about 4.7 to 4.9%, resulting into a consolidated ROA of around 1.8 to 2% for FY22. Our integrated platform along with Madura, underpinned by our rural focus, customer-centric approach, strong liquidity, capital adequacy, highly experienced management team, and strong balance sheet, places us in the forefront to drive the growth in this industry. With this short update, I will be happy to open the forum for discussions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chirag Sureka from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and festive season greetings. This is Vivek Ramakrishnan. My question is regarding the laggard states. There are some states which actually are pulling down your numbers overall in terms of collection efficiencies and NPAs, including Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, to a certain extent Tamil Nadu and Karnataka. Is there any positive trend that you're seeing in these cases, or you're going to see this kind of continuing because of some reasons in those particular states? If you could give us some more information, that would be useful. The second question that I have is in terms of the reduction in percentage of non-paying customers has been very good indeed. It's come down quite well. When you say non-payment, when you say full payment, is it for that month arrears or is it including even past arrears? Those are my two questions, sir.
Vivek, the laggard states, I think the states what you listed is only Maharashtra is little low. Otherwise, all are either equal or more than the company's level collection, whether Tamil Nadu or Karnataka or Kerala. All are doing better than the average. Where the Maharashtra was little slow, even the COVID-1 impact was quite high there. Even on March 31st, our collection efficiency was only 90% there. So it was continuing for some time. I think the residual delinquent account, till the whole life cycle of that completes, I think there will be some delay in collections in this Maharashtra bucket. Otherwise, all states are doing well. Because our total collection efficiency is 94.3, is collection for the due for the month and collected for the month. When you say collection, a non-paying customer, they are not paid for the last 4 weeks. That means during the month they are not paid. They would have paid in the previous month still, but if they are not paid in the last 4 weeks, we are considering them as non-paying customers.
Okay, excellent, sir. I got that, and thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Shreepal Doshi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So my question was with respect to restructuring. So while it is lower at 1.4% for the consolidated book, what is the nature of restructuring that we have given to our customers, like in terms of the moratorium or the EMI amount getting revised? What is the nature?
It's a combination of two, three items. Total restructuring, as we earlier also told, the restructuring would be a last resort where customer, if they have a limited cash flow, then we will do restructuring. If they have no cash flow, definitely we will not do restructuring. We will go through the provisioning route and the writing off route. Even the first year, we did just less than 1% restructuring and overall 1.4. It is the multiple way. One is little moratorium up to a month and reduced GMI, and also probably would have given some additional fund for starting business. All three are combination in this restructuring book.
Got it. So second question was with respect to the average AUM upon active borrowers. So if I look at it standalone level, that number has increased to almost 39,500. And it used to be close to 34,000 during FY21. So, just wanted to understand how are we placed in terms of the bucket-wise exposure. What percentage of these customers would be below 35,000, would be in the bucket of 35,000 to 45,000, and would be above 45,000?
What's happening since last 1.5 years? We have not acquired many new customers because of the COVID restrictions and the lower business growth. So our existing customers who have been with us are growing. For example, when we said 34th on average, our more than 3 years customer was only 33%, and today it already moved to 48%. So when we have 48% of customers over 3 years, so there is a tendency of lending little more to them because they have been loyal with us and we have been serving them. As we add more and more new customers, this average will come down. Probably it will not come down, but it will phase out. Probably the speed of increase per GLP per customer will actually come down. This is an aberration between last 2 years because of higher penetrated customer, higher long-term high vintage customers are high. That is why you see this kind of little variation. So second part is the customers, we have almost 3 lakh customers we have written off, where the average portfolio for customers quite low actually. So this also contributed for increase in the average outstanding. It's a one time probably. As the business becomes normal, as we start acquiring more and more customers, like what you see here, in the last 4 months, we already acquired 2 lakh customers. So slowly, this will get eased out.
Got it. So just one follow-up question there. As you said that now more than 4 year vintage customers have increased for us. So what is the ticket size are we comfortable, to give to this more than 4 year vintage customers, like, and what is our average exposure for that customer base?
So we are comfortable giving up to 1 lakh rupee also, 80,000 to 1 lakh rupees, but we always go by the need based funding. Even though they are for more than 4 years, based on their need we will provide. As you know, we provide a limit and within that they can draw based on their need. So while average is not very high, still about maybe 55 to 60,000 rupees for more than 3 years, but the limit is up to 1 lakh available for them.
Sir, how
many average number? No, actual loan limit is available up to 1 lakh for them.
64,000
is the average outstanding for customers over 4 years is 54,000.
Okay, got it, sir. So one last question was with respect to, like you alluded that Maharashtra is lagging for us, which is also reflected in the numbers in terms of collection efficiency. So what is the qualitative sense behind the delays in that state? Like any what are the specific geographies if we can highlight where we are seeing the issue?
Within Maharashtra, what happened, we need to see from wave one to here, you know, even before wave one, we had a flood and impact in Maharashtra, which was a issue between 1920. And then 2021, almost 5 months, Maharashtra was under lockdown during COVID wave one, which impacted the whole systems and the economy, rural economy there. Then again, I think Maharashtra was the early to start again the COVID wave two impact. So this multiple impacts impacted a bit more actually, particularly in that bit of flooding districts likes of Kolhapur, Sangli, Satara, Solapur, and kind of Raigad, Ratnagiri. So those are the districts little higher than the other districts, whereas the northern part, for example, Jalgaon, Nagpur, Buldana, those districts are doing well. So some districts in the southern Maharashtra has a little difficulty. Probably they are all coming back to normalcy, but still probably our write-off book will be higher compared to other states in Maharashtra. So once we clean up this book, we would see a normal behavior in this state also.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for that detailed explanation and good luck for the next course. Thank you.
Thank you, Sipal.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Akshay Ashok from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So this write-off sitting will continue going in the next quarter also from Maharashtra because the collection efficiency there is somehow not improving. So you think this write-offs, what you're taking, there'll be more incremental write-offs at what? From Maharashtra?
Definitely. It's not specific to Maharashtra. As we said, our credit cost will go up to almost 4 to 4.7%, which is including write-off and provisioning. So we believe we have about 4.5% kind of customers who are non-paying and are close to more than 90 days. significant of them would be a write-off going forward. But significant coverage is already there on that. I mean, even more than almost 75% provision coverage already there for those accounts. So we estimate that there will be an impact on our book because of the write-off what we have to take up for Maharashtra as well as other states where non-paying customer who are more than 90 days. If you see in our presentation, we said 4.2% of our per 90 are non-paying customers currently. So significant of them may go for write-off. In the same time, significant portion of that is already provided.
Okay. And what about the tax issue that you had? You had a demand, right? Tax demand. Has it been resolved or any update on that?
It's not yet resolved. As we updated to all, the court has stayed the process and directed the tax authority to come back with more clarifications. They're not yet submitted their reports, I mean, response still. So I think at this point of time, it is as good as stayed. So we don't need to respond to tax authority currently. So similarly, even our tax experts or statutory auditors all have reviewed that, and they also felt that there is need of any contingency for this demand.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Can you talk about any changes in the any recent collection trend, specifically in Tamil Nadu, where it has been severe rains? So are we seeing any changes in the collection pattern there?
No, Nidesh. It's only 2 days, and it is raining. It is not flooding. There may be 1 or 2 days delay. See, you know, always when a flood situation, unless it's what you call continued for a week or 15 days kind of flooding, normally this will not impact, because we go back next week or even 1 more week time, they will pay back. So it may be a delay for a couple of days. Normally we don't get into any delinquent situation for this. For example, Raigad, Ratnagiri, we had almost 1 week of rain last 2 months back. We had delinquency of almost 25 to 30 crores for a couple of weeks, and eventually we recovered everything. So normally the longer the impact, then there will be a delinquency. Otherwise, we don't feel this is an issue. And even if it's very insignificant.
Sure. So secondly, sir, can you talk about the customers that we have acquired? We have acquired roughly 2 lakh customer in last 7 months. So how much, what percent of these customers are new to microfinance sector? Any color in terms of average ticket size of these customers that would be useful, sir?
Yeah. So it's the last 4 months we acquired 2 lakh customers, and close to 48% of them are new to credit, Nidesh. 47 or 48%, and the balance are with the other MFIs. Average may be around 30-35,000 rupees. 35,000 rupees.
Sure. And then lastly, in terms of the new initiatives that we have talked about in our annual report, looking at the customer from a household level, offering other financial services products to the same customer, like payments and insurance. Any update on that, sir?
So all of these are in a, you know, some of them are thought stage, some of them are pilot stage. For example, the banking transaction at the center meeting, we have piloted working in 4 or 5 branches to see how it works, where customer can withdraw their bank balance at our center meetings, or which is going on. Similarly, HospiCash is the pilot is going on. Whereas we are in the thought process and the work in progress for, let's say, a secure product kind of affordable homes or home improvement or secured assets actually through retail platform we are planning, which is under the work in progress. Similarly, insurance, particularly vehicle insurance or two-wheeler insurance, is again work in progress. So these are the long-term trend. What we talked about is Vision 2025. Obviously, we have to start working on, and the successful will be moving into a production.
Sure, sir. And then lastly, in the retail finance book, there has been a reduction in number of employees, number of loan officers. I think the book has also been coming down. So what is the strategy there, sir?
Yeah. See, we got an opportunity to rethink on our retail strategy because we don't have headroom to grow there at this point of time as our investment in Madura has been treated as a non-qualified asset. So what we did is we are reworking on the retail business to eventually make the franchise of secured book, whereas unsecured book will continue to be held by the GL branches. So we are retraining our employees. We are working on secured products like business loans secured by assets, affordable and home improvement, maybe even the gold loan in the city, I mean, urban branches, which all these RF branches are in the district headquarters. So we are also exploring whether we can do gold loan there. So more of a two-wheeler can, two-wheeler and three-wheeler, commercial two-wheeler, three-wheeler. So these kind of products we are evaluating for the RF branches. Maybe once our merger is completed, we will get good headroom so that we can actually scale our business there. So it's a quite extensive work is going on to prepare for this kind of secured book building.
Understood, sir.
Including we have been focusing only for captive customers. So with secured focus, we would also go for open market opportunities.
Great, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rajesh.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chirag Sureka from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, sorry, this is Vivek again. Thank you for the second opportunity. What I wanted to know is, just allude to the previous question in terms of the loan size increasing, is inflation playing an important role there in the sense, if I can put it humorously, is there a cow price inflation which is there where the price of livestock, etc., which the loan is taken from, have they increased? And with that, has the earning power of the customer also increased?
Vivek, it's quite difficult to assess exact reason for the increase. What we go by the limit increase by vintage. As customers stay longer with us, the credit line keep increasing. Within that, they can draw their limit. As I said, the customer can actually draw 1 lakh rupees. The average outstanding can go to 1 lakh rupees also if customer want to, everybody want to draw the maximum amount. But if you see the outstanding average is only 54,000, that means they are drawing based on the need of their project. So it could be business expansion. It could be cow price increasing also potentially. We don't know really. It could be expansion of additional business, additional income stream they would create. Probably they are running a grocery shop. Maybe they want to add a tailoring shop or they want to add some knitting shop. So that also potential. So based on their need, and we have created a limit within that they are drawing.
Okay, sir. But you would say that for that set of customers, you are confident about their cash flows. That's why the limit itself is higher.
Yeah. Definitely. Yes. One is cash flow is higher. Two is our experience has been very good. They have been loyal with us for the last 4 years. So that is why we are allowing this. Because as customers grow more and more with us, we have a higher confidence on them. We have higher visibility of their cash flow and higher visibility about their ability to repay and strongly connected with us.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. I really appreciate this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning and congrats on a great set of numbers. So just first question is on the, again, on the ticket size. You know, so for CAGL 10 alone, we are now close to 40,000 rupees per customer. So, sir, what is your thought on this? I mean, till what level we would be comfortable increasing this ticket size further on the CAGL standalone business?
Rinesh, if you see for last 5 years, our CAGR increase in the portfolio for customers is about 10.5%. So, which is actually in line with that. Only this year it is changed because we are not able to acquire new clients for almost last 18-19 months properly. So that's only operation. Otherwise, our portfolio growth per customer is within that length. Probably by end of next year, you will have the exact CAGR within the 10% growth only. It's only a bit of aberration for the year because new customer acquisition was low for last 18 months till July this year. Otherwise, we don't see any change. So that's quite comfortable CAGR growth of GLP per customer.
Got it. So, no, sir, the thing is that, I mean, at what level you would be comfortable? Let's say if within a year, if this goes to 50,000, does this will bother you to bring it down or you will be still comfortable growing this ticket size at 10%?
See, if I am giving 50,000 rupees or 60,000 rupees average for a customer more than 3 years, 4 years, we're still comfortable, Renish. So where this is going to change is as we start acquiring more and more new customers, probably this will again come back to normal.
Got it, sir.
As I said earlier, our customer with more than 3 years already reached almost 48% now, which used to be only 33% 2 years before. Because we have not added more and more new customers in business as usual, this slight change has happened.
Got it, sir. Got it. And sir, just last question on the industry side. So whenever we are entering data for any new customer acquisition, sort of what is the rejection rate now versus, let's say, a pre-COVID level? And is there any divergent trend you are witnessing due to COVID whenever you are checking the bureau data?
Yeah, there is the delinquency is higher and for existing customer when you do the bureau check, the delinquency comparatively at least 10% more than the normal. So that is one we witnessed. Two, your own customers, at least 15 to 20% of them are still not ready to actually expand their business or invest in their business or borrow further because they're still in the hangover of one more wave or so because the same set of customers impacted twice already. So they may be waiting and watching for some more time to get a stable situation because if there is a one more wave, exactly those set of customers will impact because the typical businesses will impact. So we saw that is why the growth, there's some variation in growth because of this also. So, my sense, it will take a couple of months, stable growth momentum for these customers to get the confidence of expansions.
Got it. And so, just last question. Let's say even in last 18 months, apart from, the known geographies like West Bengal, Maharashtra, Assam, is there any other state where you see a stress is building up maybe after the second wave? Or something, some observation apart from these three states?
No, even Maharashtra, it's a typical COVID issue and prolonged wave one and wave two. Otherwise, we don't see Maharashtra as a difficult state, definitely. We are quite confident about Maharashtra in any case. So we are not seeing any difficulties in any state. Kerala had some difficulty initially, but Kerala also come back to normalcy now. Even our collections have come back to normalcy there.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you so much and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is on the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Sir, if you look at the, you know, billing collection efficiency, it has more or less stayed constant in the last 4 months, which is a bit sort of counterintuitive given that, you know, other segments of the economy have seen a much larger rebound. So is it more because of the weakness in the rural economy and we being more present there, or what are the reasons that are contributing to this stickiness in that collection efficiency number, which is hovering in the same range for the past 4 months?
Sarvesh, I think I would contradict this view because our non-paying customers are about 4 to 4.5%. It is the residual of COVID wave 1 and wave 2 actually together, it is not 1. So if I say 94.3 is my collection efficiency, that means for the billing, for the month of October, what we billed and then recovered. So it is the per month, that means 94. And if I have 4.2% non-paying, which is more than 90 days, so if you add together, we are actually 98 to 99% collection actually. So I strongly believe that rural is doing better in terms and then being unsecured book. This is doing better, actually. It's improving also. Yes, there are a couple of states which are not doing better because of the some of the reasons I already explained. Otherwise, it is doing well. It's doing good, actually. You know, comparatively, even the secured book in some places is behaving the same way.
And when are you expecting things to normalize, assuming that there is no third COVID wave? When do you think that you will achieve a normalized month in terms of both disbursements as well as collections?
See, disbursement is normalized. We are disbursing more than 1,100 crores every month in the last 4 months, and which is almost a pre-COVID level. Collections, as I said, we are 94.3% on-time collection on same month, and 4.2% customers are completely delinquent and not paying, which is near to 98 to 99%, because that also near normal. So both are near normal as of now. If there is no wave 3, I think this will only further improve from here onwards.
Understood. And any impact on, you know, the slowdown in the rural economy in terms of, you know, what we were expecting versus what we are achieving right now?
Not really. As I just before said, maybe some set of customers may not be willing to invest right now, because they may be still thinking that if there is a one more wave, it will be hit to them, because those are the businesses which impacted twice already. So, but for them, probably 15-20% of your borrowers are not investing right now. Not probably they're hesitant to borrow also, hesitant to invest also. So they should get confidence. Maybe another couple of months, if they're confident that there is no more one more wave, probably they will also start borrowing and investing. So to that extent, there is a lag in the expansion or a growth in this business.
Understood, sir. Thank you, and all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you, Suresh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viba Batra from Fair Connect. Please go ahead.
My question is on, you know, if you have any plans to convert to a small finance bank. If yes, broadly, at what stage would you, you know, think of that conversion?
No, we always had the chance to convert, Viba. Probably we decided not to become a small finance bank. We would continue to stay as an NBFC, and our focus will be continue to be the rural low-income households. So we would stay as a NBFC MFI.
Okay, but don't you think that when you achieve a larger scale, liquidity could be an issue? And I'm not talking about the normal scenario, especially the stress scenario, given the kind of understanding and also the confidence or lack of confidence, whatever way you want to put it, a lot of investors have you know, it could be quite stressful to manage liquidity in prolonged stress events.
Yeah, I agree. We have to definitely plan liquidity. That is why if you see in the last 6 to 8 years, we have been one of the company which diversified our liabilities beyond India. Already about 14% of our liability is outside India, and we are working on to expand it to 25-30% by next 2 years, which is quite possible. Similarly, within India also, it's diversified into a long-term and short-term between different type of institutions, which is one of the strength of Grameen in the last several years. And we are quite aware about the liability management, because this is not just disbursement of business, it's management of borrowing also. So we are quite conscious about it, and we are confident of raising enough funds at low cost, remaining to be low cost lender in this segment. Despite banks are able to give a lower loan, but we are able to give much better pricing to our customers.
Okay, sure. But what would be your say top 2 or 3 rationales for not converting to a bank, not opting to convert for a bank?
So it's a choice, you know. We can become bank, but, you know, our view is that we have a large highway to grow in the rural space of India. Which is potentially possible with the remaining as NBS MFI, and they already actually know demonstrated their low cost operation despite working deep in the rural. So and we are able to give a reasonable return with that. So we don't feel a reason to go, because only reason probably liability, which we saw in the last 5 years, many of them transformed into NBFC, but we have not seen the customer's pricing has come down. Whereas we being remaining NBFC, we are able to bring down the customer pricing much beyond the NBFCs or banks or SFBs.
Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you, Uba.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Sakare from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. The first question is just to understand the JLG product better. So we tend to have these, we tend to give limits to the customers which they can use on a flexible basis. So wanted to understand, like generally what has been the observation of using these limits, especially by overdue customers. Do we allow that? And do we see overdue customers sort of drawing down on these limits in a more aggressive way during the COVID period?
No, Abhijit. Actually, there's a rules there for drawing the money. They should be non-delinquent, and the group should be non-delinquent, as well as they should be non-delinquent outside Grameen also. So those are definite. Second is their cash flow is reviewed before giving the loan, and the group approval is taken before giving the loan. So there are lots of checks and balances. We have not seen any aggressive borrowing from them.
Understood. So by delinquent, you mean like 0 plus or 90 plus?
It's actually 0 plus is delinquency. Within us, we would review, for example, within 1 or 2 weeks of delay because of the COVID situation. Otherwise, normally even 0 plus is not tolerated.
Understood. So second one is in our core markets of Karnataka, Maharashtra and Tamil Nadu, what would be the share of customers where we would be the sole lender, and some general distribution of the number of loans that you see in your core markets?
We distributed maybe let's check. So we have about 43% of our customers are 45. unique to us. 43. About 43% of our customers are unique for us, who are not borrowed from anybody. And again, another 45% of customers, 42% of customers are having only one outside lender for our customers.
Okay, understood. This is very helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Madhu Gupta from Quantum AMC. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. I just have one question. This is regarding the harmonization guidelines which were to come by year end. Any update on that?
No, we don't have any update. We are also waiting for the guidelines. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreepal Doshi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Just had a question with respect to the strategy. So why we are seeing that, you know, some of our peers operating in the MFI ecosystem indicating their intention to enter into secured products such as gold, MSE secured and affordable housing. And you also alluded, like, we are also evaluating that aspect. So are we also looking at exploring those products? If you can just throw some light on this part, would be very helpful.
Yeah. Shripal, no, as an MFI, up to 15% of the products, we can actually build the non-microfinance book. So which we are exploring to use this opportunity to build the secured book. That's the only reason where we are working on how to enhance that the products which are secured in a non-microfinance allowance what we are getting.
Got it. So within that, like, we would be exploring gold and MSE secured sort of a product.
MSME secured or correct. You are right. So we are exploring which is the best one. We will pilot and test, and the best one will be expanded there.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, and good luck for the next course. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is in the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just two, three questions. First of all, these 15-20% customers that you said are a little hesitant in investing in their businesses, is there a regional texture to that? Is it concentrated in one particular state, or is it across various states where we are present?
So this is actually now across the place where customers are not in the essential service, who would get impacted if there is one more COVID comes, because they got impacted. Some set of borrowers already delinquent, some of them struggled and paid back, but still they may not be borrowing again immediately unless they are quite sure that there is no one more wave. Because let us say, assume that they are in transportation sector, they are in ecosystem of pilgrimages or tourism, or they are into a business of non-essentials. So let us say hairdressing salon or beauty parlor kind of thing. So probably they may not be investing and expanding their business currently. They struggle twice. So it is across geography if they're in that particular business, not the specific geography actually. If the geography is tourism, probably there's a higher number of customers. If the geography has a pilgrimage center, the typical customers are higher. So it basically is the business where they're in, or ecosystem where they are in.
Right. And my next question is, you know, you said 94% people are current on their payments. So should one assume that these 94% don't have any after payments as well, or how should one think about that?
Sorry, can you just repeat?
Yeah, you said 94% of the customers are current in this month. So my question is that how should one think about their past arrears if they are any? Should we assume that they are all clear for their past dues as well, or how are you, how should one, you know, how are you taking care of that in the book?
So 94% is the collection efficiency, 94.3.
I think
stage one is about 91%, where less than 15% due. So this maybe 2% odd will be basically between 15 days to 60 days past due customers.
Okay, which is paid in the current month, but they may still have some past
Correct. So which is available in our presentation.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Slide six, you can see. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. My last question is, you know, and this is a little off the wall, are you checking that your new customers or current customers who are coming through loans, are they vaccinated or not?
We don't check the vaccination status of while lending to them, but we keep tracking the customer vaccination status. We have a data. Maybe Nilesh, you have customer vaccination data. Not as of now. Okay. If we keep tracking, we have some data. Probably, maybe you can reach out to Nilesh. He will give you later.
Okay. All right.
We track our customers. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. So, one question on the competition. Okay, so, you know, so we've been hearing, the lenders are pretty hesitant to lend to the smaller MFI. So, what is the ground feedback you are getting in terms of the competition?
You're talking about the competition in microfinance lending, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We yet to see any significant visibility on that niche because there is not many are aggressively acquiring new customers. I do agree, actually. But maybe different reasons, we don't know. Maybe this quarter, we should see probably once we see the, because some of them, probably the par 30, par 0 is quite higher also. So then obviously, for example, even in our case, if a branch has more than 10% delinquency, we are not allowing them to acquire clients. We say you concentrate more on collection than stabilizing the branch. So obviously 30% of branches, we are not allowing them to do a fresh business right now. There are only renewals and collections. So obviously, similar difficulties will be there for many of the lenders. So depends on geography. So I think this will shape properly maybe next 1 to 2 quarters.
Right. But sir, I mean, let's say even if you look at the industry subsegments like FFBs are clearly not sort of, you know, willing to expand MFI book and they are, you know, incrementally focusing on the scaling up non-MFI book. Wherein the smaller NBFC MFIs, I'm sure they must be getting difficulty in raising funds. So ultimately, the new market is sort of, you know, open up for guys like us who are NBFC MFIs. So from that perspective, do you see, let's say, next couple of years would be far better for us versus, let's say, what we have seen in last 5 years?
Obviously, I have been telling that the higher opportunity for MFIs, particularly focused on rural, actually. So urban market definitely will be captured by SFBs or kind of former players. So we have, and then SFBs not expanding is not the new trend. You know, last 5 years, if you see the CAGR growth of customers is just 4 to 5%. So it's only portfolio growth happened. Obviously, they're not moving to rural. We have opportunity. We are particularly in rural, so we see a large opportunity continuously for at least for next half decade.
Got it. And sir, just last question from my side again, sort of repeating in nature. Since we are operating or maybe we are having a customer history for a longer period of time, of course you highlighted that we are exploring these 2-3 new products. But in terms of the entire financial ecosystem for the rural customer, Have we started thinking from that perspective, let's say shifting away from a single product MFI company to a larger organization or maybe conglomerate providing all financial need of the rural people?
See, if you see, if you read our document, what we highlighted in our annual report, which is, it talks about Vision 2025, where we our thought process is to support the entire family of the low-income household. Rather, currently the loan product for the woman actually. So in that direction we are operating. So for example, some of the things we are working, let's say hospice cash or a two-wheeler insurance or a bank transaction at the center. So all these things are, directed to support the entire family requirement. Maybe tomorrow, education loan for the son or daughter of the family, business loan for the family, or, investment opportunities, all these are being tested. So whichever is the most important for the family, and based on the, we will work on the partnership. So the idea is to move towards supporting the financial partner for the family is our goal actually.
Got it. And so just to follow up on that, so does it make sense for a company like us, who are having a deep rural presence and such a wide branch network of around 1,400 branches, to have a micro ATM or other enabled payment services having at our branches? Because ultimately this customer is going to withdraw from somewhere, so why not giving that facility at our branches itself?
See, look at the opportunities are much more actually, not just the ATM. ATM is one of the definite opportunities. But having India moving towards more and more cashless, more and more online transactions, I don't know, ATM may be relevant or not in next 5 years, 10 years time. We don't know really. But definitely they need an opportunity to invest, they need opportunity to withdraw cash, deposit cash, basically cash in, cash out. Pay bills, pay mobile recharges, and all those things, facilities to be available in the rural, it can be done in a Grameen center meeting actually. So basically we are looking at everything of the family can be done, and the financial ties of the family can be done in a center meeting. So that kind of vision we have by 2025.
Got it, sir. This is very, very helpful, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Just before somebody asked a question about vaccination, our customer vaccination rate is about 75%.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for sparing time, and look forward for continuous engagement. I wish you all a happy Diwali once again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.